From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we bring another in a series of studies in the book of Romans. Messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text comes from Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 5. On mine arm shall they trust. In seasons of severe trial, the Christian has nothing on earth that he can trust to, and is therefore compelled to cast himself on his God alone. When his vessel is on its beam ends and no human deliverance can avail, he must simply and entirely trust himself to the providence and care of God. Happy storm that wrecks a man on such a rock as this! Oh, blessed hurricane that drives the soul to God and God alone! There is no getting at our God sometimes because of the multitude of our friends. But when a man is so poor, so friendless, so helpless that he has nowhere else to turn, he flies into his Father's arms and is blessedly clasped therein. When he is burdened with troubles so pressing and so peculiar that he cannot tell them to any but his God, he may be thankful for them, for he will learn more of his Lord then than at any other time. O tempest-tossed believer, it is a happy trouble that drives thee to thy Father. Now that thou hast only thy God to trust to, see that thou puttest thy full confidence in him. Dishonor not thy Lord and Master by unworthy doubts and fears, but be strong in faith, giving glory to God. Show the world that thy God is worth 10,000 worlds to thee. Show rich men how rich thou art in thy poverty, when the Lord God is thy helper. Show the strong man how strong thou art in thy weakness, when underneath thee are the everlasting arms. Now is the time for feats of faith and valiant exploits. Be strong and very courageous, and the Lord thy God shall certainly, as surely as he built the heavens and the earth, glorify himself in thy weakness, and magnify his might in the midst of thy distress. The grandeur of the arch of heaven would be spoiled if the sky were supported by a single visible column, and your faith would lose its glory if it rested on anything discernible by the carnal eye. May the Holy Spirit give you rest in Jesus this closing day of the month.
Thank you.
if your Bible reading is usually in the Authorized or King James Version, you have probably encountered words that are quite unfamiliar. Because the Authorized Version was translated in the 17th century, some of its words are no longer in use or perhaps have a different meaning now. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a booklet containing many of those archaic terms and their meaning in modern-day speech. In addition, the booklet contains a Bible reading plan that will help you to read the whole Bible through in 2 years, as well as the Psalms and the New Testament twice. To obtain your copy of A Bible Word List free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A Bible Word List, and we'll be happy to provide it. Today on Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns continues his exposition of Paul's epistle to the Romans. The text is found in chapter 14 and a portion of chapter 15. In these verses, Paul deals with the believer's relationship to fellow Christians, especially to those who may be less well established in the faith. This brings us to the issue of Christian liberty. The background is a society of paganism and idol worship from which the Roman believers had been saved. How are those who are strong in their faith to behave toward the weaker brethren? What restraints does Christian love impose upon the strong believer? These are questions which Dr. Cairns will seek to answer as he brings the first portion of a message entitled Christian Liberty and Matters of Belief and Behavior.
Romans chapter 14. I know in this day of abbreviated Bible readings, where somehow or other in church services the Bible reading is the least important part of the service and sometimes never gets a look in at all. So actually, that's most un-Protestant. The Bible reading is not only part, but in the Protestant service is the central part of the worship service, along with the preaching. Our confession of faith refers to the reading and especially to the preaching of the word being blessed of God. So against that background, I'm going to read what will be about a page and a half in your Bibles. We're going to read Romans chapter 14 through to the 13th verse, through verse 13 of Romans chapter 15. This is the block that goes together where Paul is dealing with the same subject and applying it to the hearts of the believers in Rome. Let's then attend to the Word of God. Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know, and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus, that there's nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest not thou charitably, destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat, destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, For this cause I will confess thee among the Gentiles, and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, Rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. And again, Praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again, Isaiah saith, There shall be a root of Jesse, and he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to this reading from his own precious word for his name's sake. I don't know if you've ever been lost, especially as say, a pre-teenager in a forest as night falls and eerie beams of moonlight make their way through the foliage of the trees, casting long shadows and making things take very grotesque shapes. I well remember that happening when we were at a scout camp, a patrol camp, meaning that we were the only ones dumb enough to be in the whole place at that particular time of year. It was coming up to Easter, and we, a couple of us, had gone into town, come back. We knew the way back to the campsite. We didn't need anybody to tell us. We had seen it in daylight. We had never seen it in the dark. And though we didn't like to admit it, I can tell you we saw more strange people, strange things. You talk about aliens, I don't know where they came from, but everything took on a very strange and eerie shape. And when we finally got it to that little campsite, I can tell you, you had 2 12-year-olds who were mighty happy to have made it. And if it hadn't been that we were just ashamed, I think we might have been shouting for our mummy. But we didn't. We finally made it. I was reading what's called an evening quatrain from a long-forgotten English poet who once mused on the strange effect of the gathering shades of night upon our perceptions of reality. And he said, "The shadows now so long do grow, that brambles like tall cedars show. Molehills seem like mountains, and the ant appears a monstrous elephant." Thought that was witty and wise. Molehills seem like mountains. I think that all too often that perverse perception may aptly describe the foolish, divisive, and destructive battles that Christians have waged with each other over things that matter very, very little. And the cause, as that 17th century poet indicated, is that their perception has been warped by their failure to see everything in the clear light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's that skewed way of looking at things that Paul is dealing with in this section that we have read in the book of Romans. Remember that he's pursuing the general theme from chapter 12 and onwards of living the Christian life in the light of the gospel. And with that theme, Paul now comes to something extremely important. He must address one of the most egregious failures on the part of the Roman Christians to live according to the gospel. There's a little saying I read. I don't want you to think that I spent my time reading this guy in the original. I couldn't. But I read a little statement of an ancient Athenian, Pericles, and addressing his fellow Athenians, he said, "Gentlemen, we sit too long on trifles." I think Paul could well have quoted that to the Christians in Rome. Because there were many people in Rome, and they were dwelling on trifles. They saw molehills as if they were mountains that blocked the way to fellowship with their brethren in Christ. And at the same time, they failed to see the real mountains, those mighty peaks of Christian truth and practice that God's word called his people to ascend. Now, the apostle's argument in the portion that we have been reading is simply that God's people should let the gospel govern their fellowship with their brethren. Now, that seems a very simple proposition, and yet that's exactly what Paul is saying. Let the gospel govern your fellowship with the brethren. He went on to make it clear that God's people should not judge each other. Now, there are things that Christians must judge. There are things that it would be sin for a Christian not to judge. But Paul is dealing, as I show you, with very specific types of things here. And he's saying, do not judge your brethren. There's a world of difference between judging things and judging people. He's saying you ought not to judge your brethren, nor ought you to despise your brethren on account of differing views and differing practices in matters that have no real importance. You may have noticed that twice in our Bible reading, in the first verse of chapter 14 and in the seventh verse of chapter 15, he tells them to receive. Verse 1, he says, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye. In verse 7 of chapter 15, receive ye one another. This is one of those amazing texts when you look up the commentators. With one accord, almost, they agree that this is speaking about receiving people into the communion and the fellowship of the church. I don't know how they reached that conclusion. Anything more pure, it would be difficult to imagine. It's very clear that these people were already in the church. They were the church members that Paul was writing to. He's not talking about reception into church membership. It is absolutely meaningless in terms of public recognition into church membership to say, receive ye one another. The church receives its members. That's a one-way street, if you want it. I know it leads to two-way traffic in fellowship, but the reception into membership is a one-way matter. He says, receive ye one another. In other words, he's speaking more of personal relationships. He's speaking more of personal fellowship and personal communion among the members of the church. And though there are some commentators that have spoken very harshly against it, I think that it is quite in order to say that the idea of this receiving is receiving with kindness, with open-heartedness. That's what Paul is talking about. And that's precisely what was not happening among various people in the church at Rome. It's clear from this passage that there were differences among some of the Christians in that church, and those differences had led to divisions. And both sides in the division were guilty of looking at molehills as if they were matters of Himalayan significance. This little molehill suddenly became a Mount Everest of something of surpassing importance. And so Paul, wanting to deal with that, began to treat of the general subject of the terms of Christian fellowship in the church, and especially to set forth the Christian's liberty and his limitations in matters of belief and behavior.
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. Founded by Dr. Alan Cairns, Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelsch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.